I trust God for something great tonight. And I believe that the great one is going to help us in the name of Jesus. We prayed, we asked God to take care tonight, and we are sure that He is doing exactly that. Now, I was doing some study and I came to some discovery. I came to discover some things about the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So, in my study, I came to realize the meaning or the message of Exodus, the message of Leviticus, and the message of Numbers. I want to tie it together to see how we can make up something that will reveal the purpose of God and the perspective of God concerning the Christians. Now, I wrote something out here. You may not need to write it, but if you can write it, it's okay. Exodus sees Israel delivered from Egypt by a mighty hand and established as a people of God through an irreversible work. Leviticus lays down the basis of their communion with Him by the blood and their work of holiness by the cross. Numbers orders and arrays them for warfare with a view to the enjoyment of their God-given inheritance. We can see that the purpose of Numbers is that these guys should be numbered with respect to their being enlisted into an army. Hallelujah. We can confirm that from the book of Numbers chapter 1 verse 3. Turn with me. Numbers chapter 1 verse 3. I tried to look for a title for this message, but till now I've not succeeded. Maybe somebody will help me as we go on. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you check Numbers chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Now, so we see people delivered by an irreversible work of God in Exodus. We see the basis of their relationship with God outlaid in the book of Leviticus, and then we see people being numbered to be enlisted into the army for warfare. Hallelujah. In order that they might fully possess and take advantage of that which God has given to them through their father Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, when you find out, and at the point that you come to a discovery of the fact that the book of Numbers spells out who and who can stand in the battle, it brings us to a point, something towards the end of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, towards the end, ushering in the book of Numbers, you see the way God values us from His perspective. God's scheme or scale of valuation. And on that scheme and on that scale of valuation, on that template, every single believer has a rating. Are you here with me? Now, I know that people here study their Bible very well, and so I want to read the book of Leviticus. And just in case somebody is trying to bring a form of comparison with the book of Exodus chapter 30, in order to clear that person's doubt, we will need to go to Exodus 30, find out what is being said there, then we'll now come to Leviticus chapter 27, and then we'll find out what is being said there. Then when we have done that, we'll draw a chart. How I wish I had a blackboard here, or a whiteboard or something. But the board is going to be your mind. As we put the figures, just let them stick to your mind. Because we are going to be drawing a graph from the figures we are going to get from our study. Now, turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Leviticus chapter 27. We said that Exodus shows that people have come out of Egypt, and by an irreversible work of God, they have experienced deliverance. We also said that in Leviticus, the basis of their communion with God by the blood and by the cross has also been clearly stipulated and clearly established. In the book of Numbers, God arrays His people and numbers them for battle. Walk with me. In Leviticus, as the idea passes on from the book of Leviticus to the book of Numbers, we see a kind of rating that God has for His people. The reading is so long, I don't know how we can cut it short. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 27. If you have your Bible, just turn with me. Now, The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates a vow, certain persons to the Lord according to your valuation. If your valuation is a male from 20 years old to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver. Now, so somebody write that down. If you came with a pen, there are some values here with definite monetary figures. Some values here, if you can write down, he said from 20 to 60, the value placed on that is what? 50 what? I can't hear you. 50 what? 50 shekels. Amen. Hallelujah. 50 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Now, if I had the closest title I can give to the sermon is the value of the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on in our reading. He said, if it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. Still the same bracket, 20 to 60. Male is 50 shekels. Female is what? 30 shekels. Did you get that? Alright. And if from 5 years old upward to 20 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekels, and for a female then shall be 10 shekels. Write it down. Right, and if a month old up to 5 years old, then your valuation for male shall be 5 shekels of silver, and for a male your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. I can write that down too. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and for female 10 shekels. And notice it is shekels of silver. If we miss silver there, we miss the idea. Shekels of silver. So if you wrote well, you are supposed to have a column or a chart in your book now that's age for men and for women. Alright? Age below 5 years for men, we have 5 shekels. Age below 5 years for women, we have 3 shekels. Age from 5 to 20 years for men, we have 20 shekels. For women, we have 10 shekels. Age from 20 to 60 years. For men, we have 50 shekels. For women, we have what? 30 shekels. Age from 60 years and above. For men, we have 15 shekels. And for women, we have 10 shekels. That's what you should have in your chart at this point in time. Now, just in order to clear somebody's doubts that is a Bible student also, and must have gone to the book of Exodus to see some kind of valuation that is not exactly these, I want us to go there. In case you have not been there, I want to create the trouble and solve it so that any doubt that may arise from this my evaluation will be clear. Turn your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 30 quickly. And I'm going to start my explanation from there. And then we are going to proceed using this chart. The chart. Notice that you must notice something quickly. Wait, sorry. Before you turn to Exodus, notice something is happening here. And what is happening here is that somebody comes and gives God a voluntary vow. You get it? Voluntary. Nobody commanded it, but he decided to give God a voluntary vow. But from the reading of the sanctuary, each vow that everybody gave voluntarily had a definite value. You get it? From the outside, it was a voluntary vow, but by sanctuary rating, every vow that was given by this commandment had a rating. You understand that? We all give our lives to Christ. We all consecrate to God. But I tell you the truth, every form of consecration to Him has a rating. We'll come to look upon this. Just let me clear a doubt. Where were we? Exodus chapter 30, quickly. If you are there, say amen. It's a long journey, so we need a lot of tools with which to travel. Exodus 30. Exodus 30. I want to read from verse 11. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, when you take a census of the children of Israel for their number, every man, somebody say man. Now, this category does not include women. Every man. Every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord, and when you number them, there shall be no plague among the number. And this is what every man among those who are numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Did you get that? And this one is for males. And when the males are numbered, each one gives a particular stipulated amount. Do you get it? Now, we have differences here. One is a vow that is voluntary. This one is compulsory. Every male that has reached the age of warfare must give a token that is unilateral for every male. Every male. He must give a token to, it's called a ransom offering. Now, let me explain what is happening here. Because what this offering means is what God means to us. Now, you see, in spiritual warfare, you must come to realize that your natural ability does not or cannot, does not have value when we talk about spiritual warfare. And so, the ransom that is required here is the experience of Christ. The possibility of us coming into a plane where we can effectively wage war against the host of darkness is not on the account of natural strength. Now, that token that is paid is an exchange, the passage away from your dependence on your natural strength to your dependence on His spiritual investment inside of your spirit. How did I arrive there? You are going to see it clearly. Because for every man, that is constant. In order for you, after you have been numbered, you are going to give that token. And that token is the price that you pay and the experience you go through before you unlock the power of Christ indwelling. Now, if you go to the book of Romans chapter 7, you come to realize that there was this fella there that wanted to be victorious. But you see, he did not understand the principle of activating, the principle behind activating the power of God that was resident in his spirit. He was trying to do stuff like a natural man. He was trying to do stuff like on the basis of his human strength. He was trying to do stuff from the investment of his natural ability. And it happens to be that the demands of God are such that no natural man can fulfill them. It was in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2 that that brother came to realize the secret of unlocking spiritual power. He came to a point where he now discovered that, you see, you need a dual requirement. First of all, you need to be in Christ. And then second of all, you need not walk after the flesh, you need to walk after the spirit. Now, so, walking after the flesh, the price you pay in order for you to consistently connect to spirit power, the price you pay and the revelation that comes to you that delivers you from trying out in your strength and then trying out by depending on God to live out what you cannot do, that price is consistent for every believer. Hallelujah. Even if you get to a point of the young man, according to John's rating, we'll get there. And you have confidence in your strength. The Bible says that even the youth shall faint and grow weak, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, you see, the bracket of the young men is a stage in life where you easily think that by your strength you can prevail because of the vigor that and the ability that strength makes available. But every man will have to pay a price to forsake his natural strength and connect with the investment of God inside of his spirit. And for that to happen, you need to have two principles in effect. First principle is that you must be a member of Christ. And then second principle is that you must not try in the flesh. Because if you are in Christ and you walk according to the flesh, the same defeat that an unbeliever will have in trying to approximate to a spiritual value will be your same experience because you have not yet fulfilled the requirement to unlock your spirit power. Did you get it? Or you didn't get it? Can I go on? Hallelujah. You understand that? So that value is the same for every believer.
every believer must come into that experience of switching from natural power into divine power by depending on the Holy Spirit to live out that which God requires from you. That is the same for every believer. Because in spiritual warfare, you come to realize that Moses took his rod, and when he took the rod, he just stretched it over the river. That's what he did in the natural. But it was Sam that told us what happened in the supernatural. In the spiritual realm, it was the breath of God's nostrils that was recorded that parted the Red Sea. Now, so what was Moses doing in the natural? Moses just yielded to God's instruction. And when Moses was in alignment with God, the power of God could move through the act of Moses' obedience. Now, power is activated when we learn how to depend upon the deposit of God inside. And that has the same value for every believer. Everybody has the same need for that reality the same way. Unilateral. It's the same. Hallelujah. As long as you keep trying in the flesh, you still have the experiences of defeat to contend with. And that's why the Bible reveals that the righteous man falleth 7 times. Why is he falling 7 times? The reason is because he has not yet understood the principle by which grace is activated. So he's trying to arrive at it in the flesh. And every time he does that, he falls again and again until he realizes the principle that activates grace, which is depending on God to live out what he expects you to live. Did you get this to that point? I can't make it more simpler than that. Hallelujah. Now, so that's what Exodus chapter 30 is talking about. The price paid for us to stop depending upon the flesh and natural ability to perform and furnish spiritual demands. Alright? And that is the same for everybody. But by the time we go back to the book of Leviticus, you are going to see diverse ratings. And we are going to see the basis of this rating. And then you are going to see how God rates us in the realm of the Spirit. And when we go to the book of John, which we will go to before we leave this place, you are going to understand that John used the same kind of ratings, but in the New Testament perspective. If you are here, say amen. I say, if you are here, say amen. Exodus chapter 30 tells us the value of God to us. But Leviticus chapter 27 tells us the value that we sustain toward God. Hallelujah. In Exodus 30, we see that our strength does not carry the capacity to furnish expectations for spiritual business. And so, at that point in time, we see that the value of our flesh is inconsequential with respect to spiritual business, and it's only when we yield to the power of the Spirit inside of us that we can be effective in that dimension. It means that the value of Christ in us is priceless, and everybody must pay their price to activate that experience, and the price paid is the same for every believer. But in Leviticus chapter 27, we see our own value in God. That is not the same. That is different for every believer. But it is definite in the realm of the Spirit. Run with me quickly. Let's look upon that chart again that we were able to make out of those scriptures. And then memorize it very, very clearly. I say 5 years and below for men, 5. Women, 3. 5 to 20 for men, 20. Women, 10. 20 to 60 for men, 50. Women, 30. And 60 and above for men, 15. Women. Hallelujah. Have you gotten it to that point? Okay. When you get there, then we are going to move to the book of 1 John, where we are going to stay for this evening. Amen? Now, I want to say something quickly. You will notice that the category of 20 to 60 is higher than any other category. Have you seen that? 20 to 60. And 20 to 60 talks about the young man, the stage of the young man. It is within this bracket that his strength is most available. Before this point, the strength is still developing to reach a climax. And after 60, the strength is experiencing a decline. So in God's valuation of us, as we come to present ourselves to Him, alright, He measures us with respect to our capacity to war. Tell your neighbor that. He measures us with respect to our capacity to war. That is what informs God's valuation of His people. So the value that is placed upon you is the value that reveals your measure with respect to what? To war. You begin to see that from 60 down, there is a decline in the value. But see, watch me. In the realms of the natural, what happened is that everybody brought a vow. We all consecrated. We all gave our life to God. We all say, Lord, we want to serve you. But in God's realm, our consecrating, because the vows are voluntary. Do you understand that? Is what we decide. The month we have decided to yield and to consecrate to God, in God's realm, our giving of ourselves to Him has a definite value. And what informs the value is the degree to which we are capable of what? Engaging war. There are several good things to do for God. Hallelujah. But as far as His valuation principle is concerned, it is with respect to our fitness for war. Amen. Now, the reason is because God has an eternal purpose. The reason for God's indwelling you is so that you are a mobile tabernacle that carries God, and you become a means through which God's move upon the face of the earth is extended, and the frontiers of His kingdom are extended. But it happens to be that God has a foe, and God's foe will see to it and will stop at nothing until the purpose of God is frustrated. So paramountly, what God needs is a man that will stand for Him and fight not for his own personal life. Now, you know, yesterday we have gone beyond personal life. If your Christianity still revolves around, bless me, give me, do something for me, go somewhere, kill somebody, make sure that somebody does not see the light of, if you are still there, I will show you your valuation. Have you seen the value? Check from 5 to 5 and below. Let's check there. Oh my God. What's the please follow me in this lecture. 5 and below. What? You have 5 shekels for men and what? That guy's value is, no, only babies require things always. They don't give anything. But they just cry. Now, I need now. And as long as you are operating from that dimension, your sanctuary valuation is 5 shekels. Tell your neighbor that as long as you're operating from that standpoint, your sanctuary value is 5 shekels. Tell him. It's very frustrating to notice that in a generation, the bulk of the church in a particular generation has a value that is so demeaning. And that means that in that day, the devil rules as Lord. Because there's nobody to stand him in the face in that generation. Meanwhile, the devil has given them a focus that has reduced their value in the realm of the spirit. I pray that somebody receive discernment this night and decide to be an overcomer. It is today that will define who an overcomer is. Because tomorrow we'll be talking about he that overcometh. You know, when I was talking, when we received the theme of this meeting from God, with my weapons of war. So, several people thought that what we wanted to discuss was maybe the armor of God or put on something. But the Bible says that we are His weapons. It means if God is going to fight, He's going to fight through you. He's going to use you to defeat His enemies. He's going to use you to win His battles and to establish His kingdom. He needs to move to a tabernacle. He needs to move to a house. He needs to move to a vessel. I've stayed in the north. I know how strong Islam is. Hallelujah. Just because we heard the crusade, the thing, we heard the crusade open door, the thing has gone. We went to a commissioner of police. We were just outside there, but the thinners. I know how strong that network is. You can't try that. Somebody will fight, will kill you, and he will be happy that he has done his God service. I always say this, that Muslims go to Quranic school, come out jihadists. I attended 4 years university, they called me a chemist. There was no time in the training that we had in chemistry that anybody fell in the service. Somebody falls in your class when they are lecturing. But in 4 years' time, you become what you were informed to be. But in church today, in Christianity, what do we become after training? Don't you know that something is wrong? Something is terribly wrong. We don't have a design. There's no pattern. There's nothing that we are looking forward to becoming. That's a disaster. And that's why our value is so diminished. And in such a day, in such a generation, the devil operates unchallenged. And so in a time like this, in order to unravel and to this puzzle that has been presented by the situation of this generation, God will not move with the multitude. He will move with his overcomers. And I'll describe who an overcomer is. But first, let's use our rating. Hallelujah. By the time we are doing this teaching, you will know whether the tag on your head is 5 shekels. And you can change it before we leave this gate. In the name of Jesus Christ. God needs a man everywhere. When we begin to understand the full meaning of ministry, you find out that ministry is more than a pulpit, because God needs representatives in every facet of human endeavor. He needs guys in the civil service to begin to bring the principles of the kingdom to bear with the corruption of the land. He needs people in the ministry that will lift up the banner of God and manifest the character of God, so that people will see God in manifestation in secular world. He needs people everywhere to represent him. Hallelujah. But the problem is, what value does our representation of God have by sanctuary standards? Walk with me. The tragedy of the Old Testament was that a valiant inevitably hits an old age where he becomes weary and he can no longer stand in battle. That's the tragedy of the Old Testament. When David was young and he brought giants down, he was a giant killer. Very small, but his the edge of his sword was fierce, full of vengeance and temper. And he fought. And one time he went for battle, and when his sword came clashing with the sword of the giant, the Bible says his hand became weary. His lieutenant behind him seized him, took him to the back line, fought and killed the giants. I said, "You will no longer come to fight with us. Let the light of Israel be put out." That's the tragedy of the Old Testament. That comes when age begins to set in. That's the tragedy. But that tragedy is undone in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, the Bible says, "Though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day." So we do not suffer a depletion of strength because of age. We become better and finer. And if we go to the book of 1 John now, you are going to see John's valuation, John's sanctuary definition. John began to categorize believers into strata. The strata had some likeness with what we have here, but this valuation has been tinted by Old Testament color. So we need to give this list a New Testament perspective. If you are still here, say amen. I didn't hear your amen. I say, if you are still here, say amen. Don't forget it. What informs your value is your capacity to be effective where? In battle, in war. Because the foe of God will never allow his kingdom to be established. And God needs to inhabit somebody and move through a vessel, so that that vessel will be used as an instrumentality to break through kingdoms, dominions that have enclaves that have been reared up and raised up against God's agenda. He shoots an arrow into that enclave and uses that arrow to begin to destroy the order that was established before he showed up. Hallelujah. If God can get an arrow, it doesn't matter how long the enclave has existed. Egypt was so many years old. At least we are sure that the children of Israel were there 400 years before Moses showed. And what God needed was just one Moses against the entire Egypt. Just one man. And when the story was told, the Bible says, by a prophet, the Lord brought his people out of Egypt. How many prophets did that? One prophet. If you know the capacity of God that is inside one prophet, if you know the deposit of God that is in just one prophet, if you know the power of God manifestation just in one prophet, sufficient enough to bring a nation out of, then you will now understand our rating as a generation. When we go for night vigils and hear the prayers of the sick, you will know that if there's anything below 5 seconds, that's a level of current effectiveness. And the devil is having a field day. Demons have been labeled, categorized. What's the last one? They say Bitacola has a spirit. Demons are seen in electric fan. Demons are seen in margarine. We are... They say don't eat Bitacola again. If there's anything below 5 seconds, that is our rating. As a church in this generation, as a church in this nation, the effect of the power of the church has not yet been put to work. The arrows are blunt. Their piercing, their sting is not in place. One prophet went into Egypt. Egypt was a fortress of occultism. In fact, if you have watched ancient films, you see that on the golden crown, the golden cap of Pharaoh, was a cobra projected. You must have seen that in Egypt, 7 spirits are worshipped. Oh, I can't. One man that had one lifetime walked into Egypt with a rod and a spokesman by his side. He discomfited Egypt and led the captives out on dry ground. One man. And the Bible says by a prophet, the Lord brought his people out of bondage. If God could do so much through one man, what is happening to our time? What may be happening is that the current sanctuary value might have depreciated. A spiritual inflation must have invaded, and the current value has depreciated. So God's sanctuary rating is with respect to how we measure up in situations of war. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. And for those of you that can still read your Bible, I still want you to read it. You are still under some light. Do not despise your Bible this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just go to the scripture I want to begin to consider this night. So, we have a difference in the New Testament perspective. The New Testament perspective, there is nothing like aging. Depletion of strength on the account of age doesn't exist. In the New Testament, there is a categorization that the Apostle John gave to us, and we are going to be relating it to this list as much as possible, and then we'll get a shadow. I trust that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I have not heard your amen. You know, the Bible says he's like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves does not wither. It means that for a man in Christ, there is no situation of you getting withered because of time. Okay? Now, turn with me. Let's check the Bible quickly and rest on the scripture in John as we see and then establish something tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you still here? I say, are you still here? You're here, say amen. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm reading from the book of 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to take my reading from verse 12. The sanctuary value. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Somebody say amen. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Somebody say amen. I write to you, young men. Are you seeing that list? The list that we just... The list we made from the Leviticus. Are you seeing the categorization? In John's categorization list, there's a category called the children. Another, the fathers. Because they have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome what? The wicked one. Do you see why the young men have a value? Hallelujah. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And what happened? You have overcome the wicked one. I believe that at the end of this meeting, I should be able to define who an overcomer is. Are you still here with me? Now, what was used to characterize the people that John called children? The assurance of the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And that was what John used to characterize children. People that have as much as an assurance of the forgiveness of what? Of their sin. Now, I want to say here, notice now we are in the New Testament. Okay? So, a lot, some things have changed from this written. Hallelujah. Because there is no level of spiritual attainment you get to that you do not need the blood. No less. Hallelujah. Should I explain myself? In the Old Testament, we see the usage of the blood. And the usage of the blood is in three dimensions. First of all, is toward God. Second of all, is toward me. And third of all, is toward the devil in the Bible. Hallelujah. If you have been to the Old Testament, you find out that the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies with blood. And I hope you know how the Holy of Holies is. The curtain that covers the Holy of Holies is so thick that no light from the natural can go into. So it's a place that is altogether a dark place. Hallelujah. No window, no light coming in through the curtain. Very thick curtain. So the place is a dark room. And then the high priest goes there with blood. A place that is so dark that you cannot see. It means that the first of all, the value of God, of the blood, is toward God. Because it's the only one that can see that blood that has been presented. Hallelujah. And you notice that when Jesus resurrected, he did not allow anyone to touch him before he ascended. Because he was taking his blood to the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's the high priest. That was the ritual that he was going to do. Now, so the blood has an effect in heaven. It has a value in heaven. Secondly, the Bible reveals that the blood is the tool with which the evil one is overcome. For the Bible says, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of what? Our testimony. You must understand that there are many definitions of who the devil is, but by the time we go to the book of Revelation, a most graphic identity of this man was revealed. And in the book of Revelation, he was called the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. The being that accuses the brethren before the throne of God day and night. Then the Bible says, but we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto the dead. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says that the blood purges our heart from an evil conscience. So another effect of the blood is that it has an effect with our conscience. Are you still here with me? Okay. So it's God's word, devil word, man's word. Three-dimensional operation of the blood. This guy is the accuser of the brethren. And what accusation does in the realm of this, I don't know whether you have ever missed it before, and then suddenly you felt that you didn't just match, you were not fit. Have you ever had that feeling? That is the accusation of the devil. And when the devil accuses, his accusation is directed at your conscience. Because when your conscience begins to receive accusations, what happens is that your faith is punctured and the ability for you to stand face to face with the devil is affected. And if he has you in that corner, he can cripple you. So the blood comes, and when the blood is applied and the assurance of forgiveness is effected, it's a glorious state. That means you have gone beyond the reach of what? Of the accuser. And that was the basis for which Paul, John, categorized the first category. That the children have come to that point in Revelation where they understand that the way to deal with the accuser is to apply what? The blood. I didn't have time with us in the book of Leviticus to show you the place of the blood and the place of the cross as the basis of their communion with God and their work of holiness. No time. Just, oh my Jesus. The Lord will help us. Hallelujah. And so the devil's first attempt is at your conscience. And that's why I said that there's no level you get to that you not need this level, this dimension. Are you still here with me? You now see it now? You see? Amen. There's no level, no spiritual height you get to that once and again you do not experience the accusation of the devil because of something that happened. And because of that, you need to apply the blood as a means of ridding your conscience from every form of accusation and then purging your conscience from everything that will puncture your faith and then that will affect your basis of contending with the devil. So it is that experience that becomes the basis of John's classification of people as children. They have arrived at this place in Revelation. Amen? And an unpunctured conscience becomes a good platform upon which warfare can be based. Warfare can be effective. Are you alive? This is the foundation upon it. The conscience needs to be clear. The conscience needs to be light. The conscience needs to be devoid of accusation before the platform can be created effectively for contention. And that becomes the basis for which John does the first classification. Our conscience is devoid of offense because we have seen the effect of the blood and the power of the blood, and we have seen the current value of God's blood, and we apply it to our accusations, and our conscience is clear. So he called these guys children. They are rejoicing in this level, even though we don't altogether totally come to a point where you have no need of this level. But the children just came to this realization. And they are rejoicing in this level. And, well, that's their level. But you see, Paul, John goes beyond that point. Sanctuary standard is 5 shekels. 5 shekels. Hallelujah. The value of such with respect to war is 5 shekels. Amen. People that still rejoice that, hey, I was able to come out of their accusation. Glory be to God. 5 seconds. And then John went beyond that point and showed us the young men. These guys have a higher rating in the realm of the spirit. Are you still here? Say amen if you are still here. Hallelujah. Let's check it out. Young men. They are right unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Is that what's in your Bible? So these guys are overcomers. Then connect again with the second definition of the young men. He said, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. The word strong there has dual implication. The first implication, or let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 10, and you are going to see the dual implication of what it means to be strong. Hallelujah. Do not forget that our rating is with respect to how we measure up in what? In war. Turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. If you are there, say amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, there are two things that Paul requires that we'll be strong in. First of all, you need to be strong in the Lord. And second of all, you need to be strong in the power of the Lord's might. Now, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? The other time we had a teaching that made us to touch this scripture. We're able to see what it means to be strong in the Lord. I see here. My friend Cosmos has big chest. See him there with his wife. Hallelujah. Amen. People easily fear those kind of people with big chest. Some of us with smaller chest may not rank high in the evaluation of people's fear. Amen. And so maybe when I go somewhere and I cause trouble and I run to Cosmos, I say, oh God, what I do? And the guys that are coming to take me on now, I hide behind his back, and the customer say, "Wait me down." And then instead of me to keep quiet behind him, I say, "Try touch me, touch me." That strength that I'm using to boast is not my own. It's what I'm strong in. Cosmos. If you are still there, say amen. I'm strong in what? When I was alone with that guy, I couldn't say that. But when Cosmos. Hallelujah. And so when the Bible says the young men are strong, it actually means that the young men are strong in the Lord. In spiritual warfare, there's nothing you can do naturally against the devil that can affect you. So in spiritual warfare, the first trick is that you take advantage of the Lord. And what does it mean to take advantage of the Lord? It's to take advantage of the work of the Lord and the person of the Lord. Now, you see, on the account of our redemption, and you must understand that everything that Christ experienced gives us a portrait of what we have experienced and what we are going to experience. Now, Christ died, we died. Christ resurrected, we have resurrected according to Romans chapter 6. Christ ascended, we have also ascended. Because the Bible says that we are seated with Christ far above principalities and what? And powers. It happens to be that in the realm of the spirit, your rank is determined by your height. And so the Bible now describes to us where we are seated and the height we have attained by that sitting. That height is far above what? Principality. But the effect of that height doesn't take, effect just naturally. It takes effect when you take advantage of what you have become in Christ. That's revelation. You must accept it and receive it. That's what Christ has made you, and that is what you are now in Him. You understand that? So, When you know what you are in Him, it now becomes a boost for your faith. You have taken advantage of what He has made you, or what you are in Him. So you are not standing before the devil as you. You are standing before the devil as what you have become, because you are what? In Christ. That's why we cast out devils. That is a revelation that seizes us on the inside. And I know that I'm not standing before this devil as me. I'm standing before this devil as who I am in Him. Take advantage of the Lord. When you do that, you are operating from a place of positional advantage. And when you look down, because you are sitting far above principalities and powers, we do not wage spiritual warfare on the strength of human muscles. By the time it dawns upon you that my height gives me an advantage. Oh my God, it means you are taking advantage of what you have become by reason of what He has done for you. Take advantage of the Lord, Paul says. And that's not enough. He says also take advantage of the power that is resident in His mind. That was about the Holy Spirit. Take advantage of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. As He nudges you and says, this one, don't lay hands. Just speak a word. Oh my, don't go lay hands, because that's how they taught you in Bible school. At that point, what is relevant is what the power of His mind has prompted into your spirit. And the Bible says, I salute you, young man, because you are strong. Hey, what made them strong is because the word of God abides in them richly, and they have taken advantage of the position revealed in the world. What gives you a better valuation in the realm of the spirit is that you are what? Are strong. You are seeing the revelations of God's word and what it has revealed that you are. You no longer function by what you used to be. You look into the world, not the Bible calls the world a mirror. And when you look upon the mirror, what you see is who you see who you are. But in the divine mirror, when you look into that divine mirror, you see who you are supposed to be. And if you take that portrait of who you are supposed to be as your true portrait, by that you can be what? Strong. The lack we suffer in the body of Christ is because the word of God is no longer reached to us. It has not come to us so much as to change our mindset to accept a new realm of reality. And because of that, people go in prayer. She sees somebody shaking his head. That is a militant church. It's time to engage a new warfare outside of the provisions of God. And that kind of warfare is dangerous, because the devil is going to fight back. And when he fights back, there will be nothing to shield you, because you went out in your own. You went out on your own. He's shaking his head. Die. No. You don't need to add anything. Just take advantage of what is existing. You don't need to be funny. There's those days there used to be a sister like that. She wants to prophesy. She'll fall on the ground. Oh. I say, my people. I called her. I say, sister, stand and talk. Stand and talk. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It means that we do the supernatural naturally. Stand and talk. The utterance is granted from heaven. Give it expression. Give it manifestation. It's not coming because you are shaking. It's coming because the God inside of you is active. He wants to say something. Open your vocal cord and communicate the utterance. Stand and talk. We try to mystify things that are simplified in God. Just accept the valuation, accept the reality, and stand on that platform and operate from that level. When the devil sees that you are strong, when he knows that the word of God abides in you, your mindset has been changed, your perspective has been altered. Oh my God, you overcome the evil one. Because when you know what God has said, the devil cannot manipulate your mind to believe something else. I've written to you, young man, because you are strong. Man, tonight your rating can change from 5 seconds. Maybe when you shake your spirit, there's not much matter on the inside. That's what every time the devil showed up, he was able to get your mind to move on a tangent that will put you in a position of disadvantage. But tonight you can change your rating. Oh my God, I salute you. Because you are strong. I salute you. A time came, there was a time in my life. Every 2 weeks, my mom brought an injection to pierce into my backside. And one of the things I still dread is the edge of the needle. I still dread it so much. When she hits it like this, so that every air inside the jar will escape. And she brings it close. My temperature increases. I say, Jesus. And when she comes out, she will frown because she knows if she doesn't act some drama, I will look for a way out. Jesus, I was tired. Then I saw it written in the scriptures. The Bible said that when the evening time was come, they brought unto him many that were sick and possessed of devils. And he healed the sick and casted out the devils by his word, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that he himself took our infirmities, he himself carried our sicknesses. When I saw that those words were in past tense, he took our infirmities, he carried our sicknesses. Something happened to my mind. The next time the fever came, it still came up. But I had something to say. I stood my ground. I said, no, he took my infirmities. When I conquered the first, I conquered the second. Now I live like stone. Jesus, he said, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. When the devil came in the Garden of Eden, he brought some news. He said, the God said to you, that's how he always speaks. He comes to shake your mind to see if he can change your thoughts. He comes to find that if you are sore. He himself did not know. He needed information from Eve to afflict her. And most times when he has come to you and he finds out that you feed him with the relevant information for him to spoil you, he still knows that your sanctuary value is 5 seconds. I'll deal with this one some more time. But when he shows up and goes on holiday and comes back from his vacation and tries his old tricks, and instead of you speaking what you feel, you speak what God has said, he tries to shake you to give him some information. The information is not just coming out. He changes your rating. Every time you take that portrait, every time you take that posture, you overcome the wicked one. And your sanctuary rating is upgraded. I decided not to be a child. Oh my God, Jesus doesn't need to do anything else to change my rating. It is up to me to change where I stand. I've written to you. Because you are strong. Somebody here should get tired of living on the sidelines. Tired of allowing the devil to perch upon your head. Tired of moving around and the devil is plundering everywhere in the family. A strong man needs to arise. A valiant needs to rise up. Something has to begin to happen on your inside that will change the position that you have sustained in your mind. And also you need to be strong in the spirit to understand the signs, the symbols. You see, it's not every time God, the Holy Spirit speaks in tangible language. Many more times he gives signs. Just a feeling, just wake up and your peace goes. You just know that there's something about today that makes a difference from every other day. And then you switch into the realm of soberness and vigilance. Everything begins to get your attention because there's a signal in your spirit so that you know at what point the serpent will encroach. When he sees such a man that knows every time he makes a move, he's incapacitated. I've written to you because he is strong. Somebody said that if your grandfather is herbalist, that cause it will be looming in your family. There will loom as long as no strong man is there. But the day a strong man arises, he overcomes the wicked one. Should I tell you something? You don't need to go for deliverance. Change your sanctuary rating.
Why sit with him until we die?
Let me give us a last scripture and release us to prayer. Because somebody must rebel against the devil this night. So many things happened in my family. So many things. There are seasons where darkness just begins to affect. The time came like that, I felt in my mind that the devil was stronger than God. I just felt it because I saw manifestations of the finger of the devil. Almost all through my growing up, it affected my mind. The brother speaking in the book of Psalm 73 said, until I went to the sanctuary, then I understood. I saw through the vista of God and I saw the perspective of heaven. I had a face-to-face encounter with the spirit that was eating and spoiling my home. But it came when I was strong. And since that time, that spirit has not returned. It's about 13 years now. And there's been peace. I'm preaching to you, young man. Because you have overcome the wicked one. Ha 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 ha!